Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. Today, we continue a series we've been having a lot of fun with, That One Play. And this one play we're talking about today is Ray Rice's 83-yard touchdown to start off that wonderful win against New England in the 2009 wildcard game. Here to join me, an unusual guy, he's an unusual guy for sure, but he's not a Ravens fan. He's a Bills fan, part of Bills Mafia, but one we have regularly interacted with and thoroughly enjoy those conversations. He's Drew Geyer of Rockpile Report. Drew, how you doing?
Not too bad, Ken. Not too bad. How are you?
Life is good, my friend. We're living the dream here. Obviously, not the exit either our teams wanted in this playoffs. The Ravens seem to have the Bengals. And got it flipped around by one play, and the Bills certainly expected, I think, more than what they got out of their game. And we don't need to go into that too much. But tell people where they can talk football with you online.
Online, you can find us on Twitter at Rockpile Report or our podcast, The Rockpile Report. We drop three episodes a week during the season. We do AFC's roundtables. We talk about the state of the division. We talk about all kinds of things, and then obviously we drink a lot of beer and crack a lot of jokes and talk about Bills football.
Yeah, it is no kidding about the drink a lot of beer. They just sit there. They got a bucket of beers in front of them, and they literally will go through that in an hour show pretty darn quickly. But anyway, I really appreciate you, Drew. I always appreciate talking football with you. Let's get back to this play and set it up maybe a little bit for us in terms of where the Ravens are going into this game.
Well, so it is kind of unorthodox that a Bills fan has a favorite Ravens play. To set the table for you guys, I'm in my early 20s and my washer and dryer are broken in my house that I'm sharing with a couple roommates. And so like the cheapskate that I was, I
went home to mom. This is in 2009, not today, right?
Yeah.
Just to make sure.
Yes, yes, in 2009. So I went to my parents' house, which is what every kid in his 20s just falls in on mom and dad. And so that game happens to be on the TV and I say, okay, I'm going to be here. I'm going to watch this football game. Nobody in the house knows, I guess at that point, how much animosity I harbored towards the Patriots. They probably should have, but they didn't, because the Patriots were just constantly kicking us in the teeth. And you looked at what the Patriots were. It's and especially going into that postseason. It's Brady and Belichick back together again. You know, they lost Brady for the season prior and didn't make the playoffs. But every year prior to that, they made it at least the divisional round every single year. What, three Super Bowls, won two of them, never an exit before the divisional round of a season. And now they're somehow hosting the wild card game at home as the three seed. It was a weird territory for the Patriots to be in. But because of all that success, I think everyone just walked into that game with this idea of, it's the Patriots. It's the Patriots at home, and they're going to dominate like they always do. And I think that they kind of forgot. They lost sight of some things going into that game. The Patriots' success was based on the strength of their offense, mm-hmm. not so much their defense.
Yep, very much. Randy Moss, a big part of that team. What I remember most about Patriots fans and the incredible arrogance of that group, the massholes, were that they, a lot of them were saying, I'm not going to bother with a wild card game. I'll go to the AFC Championship if they play that here. I'll go, you know, maybe I'll go to the divisional round.
It really was that. It's, you just hit on it. The arrogance of that fan base that we as Bills fans have been subjected to for years running up
That's
to this
true.
Game. You guys were starting to get a taste of it. And I can understand how that comes across. You're like, wait a minute, you don't even take our team seriously.
Yeah.
And again, there were these fault lines within the Patriots, but nobody had ever exploited them before. Their run defense was bad that year, but it didn't matter because their offense was so robust that they could force you away from your rushing attack by the halfway point of the second quarter in some games. And so nobody had ever really had a chance to put their foot on their throats for 3 to 4 quarters with a physical approach like that. And so we go into this game and the game's on and I sit down and I've got a beer and the kickoff and kind of innocuous. Slater comes in, makes a really good stop. They get him short of the 20 and I go, okay. So, and then they snap that first play from scrimmage and you see, I knew right now I'm wearing a Rutgers sweatshirt. I knew Ray Rice was gone the second he pressed that crease to the boundary and just worked his way up the sideline. And I was a lunatic. I'm jumping up and down. I knocked over my parents' coffee table. They come running because they're like, we only hear these explosions when the Bills are on TV and we're used to them. They caught them off guard. What happened? What's on fire? You don't understand. The Ravens just punched the Patriots in the mouth. And it's one of the greatest things I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. I was an honorary Ravens fan that day, Ken.
Yeah, it was a wonderful play itself. I mean, Rice released basically up the middle. There were two combination blocks on the play, one by Grubbs, one by Yanda. Both outstanding pin and turn kind of combination blocks where they each caught an opening there. Yanda's in particular, he pinned Wilfork and yes. Then went outside. Wilfork at started that game at nose tackle, had to finish a defensive end, which is an interesting story of itself. But anyway, pinned him to the left for Burke. Then he moved up to level two and sealed off Guyton. It's actually kind of a little maze for Rice to run through there that he was remarkable at that day, you know, running through fairly small lanes.
Marshall Yanda has been an offensive lineman that's always impressed me. I was always like, he was one of my favorite guys on the Ravens lines to watch work. And so watching him just casually kind of push Wilfork off and then get to that second level and just create the crease. And then seeing Rice have the football IQ to know I can't press it to the right. I have to fade to the left. Now that linebacker's been dealt with, I see some daylight. And if I can just get there, I don't have to be the fastest guy because spatially, I don't think anyone can catch me. And it was the greatest because Merriweather really thought he could have gotten him. He took a bad angle and then tried the diving Hail Mary tackle approach, which Ray Rice just kind of high stepped away from into the end zone. And it was an electric start to that football game. And I think the reason it's so important to me, just as a fan, wasn't a fan of the Ravens a ton going into that game. I didn't have a ton of animosity towards your franchise. I mean, other than Willis McGahee all of a sudden leaving us and going to play for you guys. Other than that, I didn't really have a whole lot of emotion one way or the other. But the thing is that you watch that game from that play forward and you watch it unfold. It's the day that it dawned on me that that might be the most emotional football team in football. They thrive off that. And how could you not? You've got Ray Lewis, Terrell Suggs, Ed Reed. Those guys are emotional football players. They wear their hearts on their sleeve. And you saw that spark something.
Yeah, definitely. Those guys in particular, all three of them, they love to be the bad guy. They love to go in and play road football. And that's the Ravens were fantastic. They played all that, 5-year period essentially on the road. They won games on the road every year. Flacco set records for the most road playoff wins.
Hey guys, I want to tell you about the Eufy Video Lock. Because when I'm not podcasting, I am. My day job is a smart home specialist. And the Eufy Video Smart Lock is perfect. This is what you guys need to go get. It replaces the deadbolt on your door. So now you can come home without fumbling with keys. You can just type in a code. Or even better, use your fingerprint to unlock after 1 second. You put your finger there, pops out, my door's open. It's perfect. It also is an integrated video doorbell. We've all seen the video doorbells. We all know the ones that are out there. I've seen many of them get stolen. No one's going to steal this because it's your door lock. It's impossible for them to steal. There's no monthly fee. Other ones do. But this one, it'll record locally, so you never have to pay if you don't want to. The battery, it lasts up to 4 months. Plus, it notifies you ahead of time. And I mentioned earlier, 1 second fingerprint recognition. No, I meant 1 second till it opens. The AI self-learning chip will learn your fingerprint even faster, and then it opens up. Completely keyless entry. No more keys. And I know I set this up as I'm a smart home specialist, but anyone can install this. All you need is a Phillips screwdriver. That's it. and then you're done. Guys, I love this product. Make sure you check it out. Now, here's the easiest thing to do. Just go on to Google or whatever you prefer and search Eufy Video Lock. That's E-U-F-Y Video Lock. Or visit eufyofficial.com/video lock to see how you can gain complete control of your door, just like me, just like Ken.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
I don't believe they're still standing, but they were at the time. And just an outstanding run of being very effective there. Very cold day in New England, extraordinarily cold. It's one of the coldest football games I've been to, but it was probably in the 15 degree range, I'm going to guess, at kickoff. And just the reaction I got from the fans around me was, "Are you kidding me?" On this first play, it's like there's a taint of entitledness that's still around.
Oh, 100%. Because they're like, and I also, like, I started texting because I've got family members from Massachusetts, so I'm texting them, just giving them the business. And they go immediately, they're like, "It's one touchdown. We'll score five of those today." And I'm just watching the Ravens side, like, as they come out, you know, they're coming off. I remember the broadcast, they're coming off the sideline, and you just saw how fired up those defensive players were. And then Terrell Suggs comes in and makes that strip sack. And then they immediately go back to the run. And you could just see that team knew they'd found something.
Yeah. There's almost nothing more fun to watch in football than when your team can just ram it down the other team's throat on the ground, knowing that it's coming. And there's just nothing. They can't stop it. There's a lot of comments as we're walking around to our car and we're hearing the radio on in that whatever kind of outdoor mall they have at Gillette. And they're talking about how, you know, we need more football players. You know, very upset with Jared Mayo over his play and not being physical enough in the game and whatnot. Something I've always kind of appreciated is reading the opposition's newspaper the day after a Ravens win. I really like doing that. But this was like, it was better. It was real time. It was all happening. People were calling into the talk show and whatnot. And you hear it on the radio blaring out there. So it was a lot of fun.
It really was one of those games that you, like I said, it was a moment in football I'll never forget. I will never forget that one play. And I think that in a broader sense, when you think, well, first of all, being able to run it down people's throat, when you have Willis McGahee, Ray Rice, who's finally emerged as a Pro Bowl level talent, and that play, I think, just put the exclamation point, like, "Hey, I'm here, I'm a Pro Bowler, and you're all going to have to deal with me." And then you think back to that play after the strip sack, they come in, Ray Rice has a phenomenal run. I think it's on either second or third down to set up a goal line play. And they bring out Holote Nata and they bring him in as a tight end and then give it to the up back LaRon McClain. There's no way you can stop those guys from getting 1 yard. You can try. Good luck. And it didn't work. And it just kept not working. I feel like I remember seeing the box score. I think the Ravens had less than 40 passing yards that day because they just didn't need to.
Flacco was 4 of 10 for 39 yards in the game. So they didn't throw the ball at all. Pretty much. They ran the ball 52 times. That did include three kneels for it's 237 if you take out the kneel. So 49 for 237 if you take out the kneel. So over 5 yards of carry, almost 5 yards of carry. Outrageous day of running the football. The Patriots knew it's coming. They lined up to try and stop it. They couldn't do it. And it was great to see. It was one of the games, honestly, which stuck around Flacco's neck as kind of a millstone, saying, "Yeah, you can play with a bad quarterback and you can still win with a 4 out of 10 game." But Flacco really had to overcome that. I don't think he did it fully until 2012.
No, and it also said a lot about the Patriots. To your point, as you're leaving the game and you're hearing all of this the lamentations of the New England faithful, which it couldn't happen to a greater group of people. Yes. It couldn't happen to a nicer group of people. it's one of those things where you saw it was, I think, a humbling moment for Bill Belichick, because you look at how he'd been making Super Bowl runs, their perfect season, all these things that they had kind of led themselves to before Brady's injury. And they kind of came out with a cockiness saying, listen, we can just boat race teams offensively. We don't have to be sound defensively. And then the Ravens showed up and kicked him in the teeth. And I think that Belichick is one of the all-time greatest, maybe the greatest head coach ever. You saw more of a determination to get tougher on defense in seasons after that. And I think it took the Ravens humbling them like that in front of in their own house, in front of their own fan base, for that to take place.
Absolutely. I mean, they really had an answer for everything that the Patriots could throw at them offensively. But most notably, they went a very extreme route on Randy Moss. Now, Randy Moss, a lot of kids today are not going to know this, but Randy Moss for 3 years in 2007, 8, and 9 for the Patriots had 23 touchdowns, which was the all-time record at the time. I think it still is. 11 for receiving touchdowns. 11 touchdowns the next year with Matt Cassel throwing the ball to him. And then 13 again with Brady in 2009. And it was just the most dominant force offensively at wide receiver in all of football. Well, the Ravens, they covered him up front, usually with Dominique Foxworth, who was on that side of the field. And then they covered him in the back with Ed Reed. They just said, we're double covering you in that way. You will beat whoever else. And they threw a pass early to Reed on early to Moss on a third and something, and Reed deflected it. And they threw another pass, I believe, to Moss that got deflected, intercepted by Reed. That was part of that 24-point first quarter where the Patriots were just giving them all away at will. That was a great thing to remember. But Randy Moss shut down that day, and that was really, I think, the biggest key to the Ravens defensively in that game.
I just know that the party started the moment Ray Rice broke into the clear there, and I can tell you, you've podcasted with us, you've watched us drink, as you alluded to. When we're having a good time, the beers go down a lot easier. I can tell you that before the Ravens scored their next touchdown, I was already on my third beer.
That's good.
That one play sparked a party in my parents' house that they weren't expecting.
It's always a big cleanup when Drew comes over, right?
Always.
All right. Drew, really appreciate having you on for this. Highly recommend Rockpile Report to folks out there. You're at Rockpile Report on Twitter, correct?
Yep.
Okay. And a good show. I'm on it whenever they will have me. And I really have appreciated that these last few years. Always a great, engaging conversation. You can tell we appreciate talking football with each other.
Always a good time, Ken. Thanks for having me.
All right. Other folks out there, I need to mention, if you'd like to be on one of these episodes, hit me up with a DM on Twitter. They are available. There's still some great plays from history. I'm putting out a few per day or two of ones that are not yet taken. You want Torrey Smith's 70, whatever yard touchdown it was against the Rams in his first throw in 2011? You got it. Just DM me on Twitter and you got it. There's a few more out there that people will remember. Oh, yeah, I remember that. Oh, yeah, I remember that. It's just the kind of play you want to get involved in. It's this kind of discussion, just a nice back and forth, whatever the play means to you. You be you. It can be analytic. It can just be about where you were at the play, or that you were at your parents' house and drinking beer, and this started a party because you hate the Patriots so much. That's all great. So Drew, really appreciate having you on.
Likewise.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.